Amen. My own, I'm live. I'm going to ask you all to take your Bibles, follow along with me. Open your Bibles to Judges chapter 6. I want you to open to Judges chapter 6 and hold your place there. I'm going to read one verse before I pray from 2 Timothy. So if you find Judges chapter number 6, and it is a blessing to be able to step foot in God's house again. I've been one that's been home watching, and some of you have tuned in when I was doing the Sunday school, but I've been doing those from home, and thank you all for those that have been having your children follow along in Sunday school, and we do that on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock, but it's good to be in God's house, and I still miss many of y'all that aren't here. And I look forward to the day that we can all be together again, serving God and ministering together once again. Judges chapter number 6, you hold your place there in 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 7. God has laid a message on my heart about fear. How fear is a terrible driver. Fear is a terrible leader in our lives. And so I want to talk to you this evening about fear. And if you see there in 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And you see over and over and over in the scripture, a casual reader of scripture would know that God many, many times in his word will say, "Be not afraid, fear not, be of good courage." You see that over and over and over in the scripture because God knows that fear is a terrible driver. And I'm going to preach this evening a message entitled, "Who's Driving?" Who's driving? And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you, God, for your church. I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the technology that we have in these days, God, that when we haven't been able to be here in person, God, we could still hear our pastor and our assistant pastors preach your word and can still be helped and still be ministered to, even in our own homes and across the distance, God. You've allowed us to do that today, God, and I thank you for that. But I thank you for allowing me to be here this evening, Lord, behind this pulpit. Lord, I know this is your house and this is your word. Lord, and I pray, God, that you would use me this evening. Lord, use my mouth as your instrument, God. I pray that you'd use me and fill me with thy spirit, Lord, as I bring your message that I believe is so needful for today. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I asked the question before I prayed, who's driving? Who's driving? As I mentioned, I'm going to talk this evening about fear. You're there in Judges chapter 6. I turn back to Judges chapter number 6. We find here in the scripture the story the about Gideon. We see here about Gideon, and as I was just studying, God brought this passage of scripture and this story here to my mind of Gideon. You talking about fear. There was a lot of fear that was going on in those days. If you there look in Judges chapter number 6 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And so what we're going to read here that happened in their life, you realize that this happened over a period of 7 years that Israel dealt with these circumstances. They dealt with this situation for 7 years. The Bible says in verse number 6, "And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites." See, what happened, the Bible says in verse number 2, "The hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens, which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds." There they were hiding in the mountains, hiding in the caves and hiding in the stronghold. And it says, "And so it was when Israel had sown, they planted, the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth. Till thou come to unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents and came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. So remember, this was 7 years of these situations, 7 years of hiding and encamping in caves and mountains and dealing with this enemy that says you couldn't even number them. The camels and the Midianites were without number. There were so many of them. It says it was like grasshoppers for the multitude as they came in, and whatever they had, they took from them. Whatever they had, they took from them. And that's where you get to verse number 6 again. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And they did something good here. They cried, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Sad it would take them 7 years to do that. I pray that this would not take us 7 years before we cry unto the Lord. I pray that there's people out there, if that's what would be our number one thing. Whatever happens in our life, whether it be good or bad, we get on our knees, whether we're thanking God. We ought to thank God even through the bad times. Because it, as Pastor mentioned in a previous message, it's better than what we deserve. It's better than what we deserve. The bad times, the things that we go in our life, is better than what we deserve. So get on your knees and thank God. But always, that should be number one, to cry unto God. And he did that here. They cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel. God answered their prayer. And God sent, as we come down to verse number 10, he said, I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel unto the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, and pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon, threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And this is where we get introduced to Gideon. He's there hiding. Again, because we looked at the children of Israel, and we looked at how they were, everything was taken from them. And he had some wheat, and he's there hiding behind the wine press, threshing the wheat, because he was trying to keep some for himself, some for his family, trying to be able to feed himself and feed his family, because he knew if they seen it, if the Midianites seen it, they would take it. And he's there, and the angel of the Lord came unto him. In verse 12, an angel appeared unto him and said, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. It's kind of comical, because it says that Gideon's first words to him, and Gideon said unto him, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is this befallen us? So Gideon, through all this time, through these 7 years, he started doubting, he started questioning, he started wondering, does God really care? Is God with us? Is God in control? I hope there's no one out there that's asking that question, but if there is, if there's someone that's asking that question, is God in control? I want to tell you affirmatively, yes. Amen. He hasn't lost one bit of control. He hasn't stumbled. Don't even question that. As Gideon was saying, if the Lord be with us, then why is this befalling us? We can't question God. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We can't question God, but he did. Gideon was questioning and said, is God with me? Is God with us? How is this happening? Why isn't God doing something? We ask those questions. How long? You see over and over in Scripture, people say, how long, God? How long will we be in this situation? How long till you do something? How long till you move, God? And there's nothing wrong with asking that question, but don't doubt God. Don't doubt that God's with us. Don't doubt that God loves us. Don't doubt that God's in control. Verse 15, he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. I think it's interesting how often in the Bible, not every time, but often in the Bible, the ones that God uses are the ones that you'd least expect. He said, my family's the smallest family. I'm the smallest one in the family. Why would you come to me? You know the story of David. The father didn't even think to bring David, his son, to Samuel. He didn't even think of it. Samuel asked him, I know God sent me here. It's one of your sons. Is there another? And he said, well, yeah, I have one more, the youngest. I didn't even think of him. He's not the one I would think of. He's out watching sheep. Bring him. And it ends up that's the one that God anointed. That's the one that God chose. And God often chooses the ones that people, and man's eyes would say, they won't amount to much. In man's eyes, they think, well, what can they do? Well, that's the ones where God can show himself big. God can show himself strong in their life. And so that's what Gideon was saying. He says, you know, my family's poor, and I'm the least in my father's house. I'm the one they sent out to thresh the wheat, to hide and try to get some food to bring it back. I'm the little scrawny one why would God choose me? And the Lord said unto him, verse 16, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. As I told you, I'm going to be talking about fear. And there's times in our life when circumstances and things in our life can cause us to say, I'm afraid. But God's message to us is always, I'm with you. I'm with you. He told Gideon, I will be with thee. I will be with thee. And in these days, and in whatever days may come, whatever we can face, we can be assured that God says, I'm with you. If you're his child, he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I am with you. I started thinking about this, how some people allow fear to rule their life. And I can't confirm this, but I remember reading as I was studying the book of Ruth and a message I was preaching. It's been a while ago. And I was studying, I was reading, and I came across someone who said they believed that the story of Ruth, when Elimelech and the famine that happened in that land, and they went down to Moab, you know the story found in the book of Ruth, that coincides with this scripture that we're reading tonight, Judges chapter number 6. And I started thinking of, if that's true, and I started comparing here the story, and we'll look at it, what God did, the miracle and the miraculous things, how God worked in their lives to bring victory, but yet there was this family who even his name, Elimelech, means my God is king, but yet he, through the circumstances, through fear, I believe, made a move. He let fear drive his decision and his family down to Moab, and the end of that was disastrous. He, his wife Naomi, his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, as they went down to Moab, later when they left, when Naomi came back, she left three graves there. Her husband and two sons died in that land. And she heard through that sorrow, through that event that happened, she heard how God brought bread back in Bethlehem. How God brought victory, and she says, I'm going to go back home. But she missed it. She missed the victory. She missed being a part of that. And that whole family, all of them missed it because they allowed fear to drive them and to make decisions to say, I'm going to do this. So often, people will say, well, I got to do what's best for my family. Well, you got to follow God. I said, you know, there's many things that people allow to control their lives. To control, to drive their life, to drive them. Money, that's a big one. Well, I got a better job offer awaiting me. I got to move. I can't turn it down. You're making a mistake. You're making a mistake if that's what's driving you. Money, addiction, that often drives a lot of people, whether it be lust or drugs or even entertainment. Drives their life and helps make their decisions in their life, what they're going to do, if they're going to come to church or they're not going to come to church, if they're going to be faithful to God or not, if they're going to go soul winning. Well, we got this ball game going on, or we got this event going on. There's too many people are tied up in entertainment. It doesn't have to just be drugs. When you think of addiction, most people think of drugs. A lot of people are addicted to all kinds of things, and that drives them. That controls their life. Pride. I ain't going to do that. Proud. Pride. God tells you to do something. I'm not. You know, God calls a missionary. Well, pride says, no, I'm not going there. Pride. Fear. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. But what ought to be number one, when we say what drives you, what controls you, what ought to be number one is God's will. What does God want me to do? What has God told me to do? That ought to be number one. Well, you get a good job offer, pray about it. Does God say, take your family and move? If God says do it, you better do it. There's times in the Bible where God told someone, hey, take your family and move. Take your family and move. We know the story of Abraham. Move. Abraham, go. Where am I going? Just go. I'll show you when you get there. But he followed God's will. God told Jesus' parents, Joseph and Mary, he says, you need to get out of town. Did he not? He said, Herod's seeking the life of your son. You need to move. And they moved. They listened to God, and they stayed there until God says, okay, now you can go back. They listened to God. Even though there were things fearful around them, they didn't move on their own. They waited till God said move. I think of Elijah. God told Elijah, go get down by the brook and stay by the brook. Stay there. Well, the brook, everything was happening all around. Elijah did what God said. He stayed there until God said, now get up and go to Zarephath. He listened to God. He listened to God. God's word, when God's will and God's word directs us, that's when we ought to be obedient. That's when we ought to make a move. But making a move out of fear and out of a better offer or other things that we use that to control our life, you're making a mistake. If you take your family, sir, and make a move because of anything other than the fact that God told you to, you're messing up. Who's driving? Who's driving? Some people moved, as we see Elimelech did, because of fear. He moved because of fear. And I tried to search the scriptures. I tried to think in my mind and the time that I had. And I don't know of any. Someone may comment later and tell me. I don't know of any time where God used a circumstance, a situation, a famine, or things to move people outside of his will, outside of his word. There's often where it says, the word of the Lord came, and the word of the Lord came, and God told them. And sometimes, and I wrote these down, there was a couple examples I thought of where God used a circumstance because the people were disobedient to his will. God used an event that happened because people were disobedient. You think of the early church. God told them, I want you to go to Jerusalem and Samaria and Judea and then the uttermost parts of the world, but they stayed in Jerusalem. But yet, through persecution and Saul spewing out threats and persecuting the church, the Bible says they were scattered abroad. And where'd they go? They went to Judea and Samaria. And the Bible says, and they went everywhere preaching the gospel. Because they didn't listen when God told them to do it. God used something, a persecution, to get them to get their attention so they would listen. I also thought of Jonah. God told Jonah. His word came to Jonah. Not just circumstances, but his word came to Jonah and said, Jonah, go. Jonah said, I'm not going. And God used the storm, God used the whale to get Jonah's attention, and Jonah said, okay, I'll go. And then the word of the Lord came to him a second time and said, go. God's word, allow God to tell you his word through his word and counsel and prayer. Let God lead you. And know for sure, this is God's will for my life. God is directing. And I'm following God. Be yielded to God. Be sensitive to God's lead. Not well, it's greener pasture over there. It's greener pasture over there. That's where I think I ought to go. Lot did that, didn't he? He looked at the well-watered plains and said, that's for me and my family. He didn't pray about it, didn't ask God, said, I'm choosing that. You see example after example, and I'm warning you. Through circumstances, wait on God. Be still and know that I'm God. Be still. Allow God to lead. As God came to Gideon and said, Gideon, here's my plan. After 7 years, I'm going to bring deliverance, and it's going to be through you. And God used Gideon as an example. And if you turn over to chapter 7, we're going to go over this story here on how God did it. He told Gideon, and Gideon gathered the people together. He gathered an army together. And verse number 1 of chapter 7 says, Then Zerubbabel, who was Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for thee to give to the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hands have saved me. Gideon, you got too many people. Again, we talked about pride. God says, I don't want one of you to boast yourself with pride and think that you did this. It's too many people. We know from the stories we're reading that Gideon had 32,000 people. I believe when Gideon left home that day and looked at his band of 32,000 men, he probably had a little bit of assurance. He probably had a little bit of confidence thinking, even though the Midianites were innumerable, he thought, 32,000 people, and God's on our side, we could do something. And God said, it's too many, Gideon. I want you to tell them. Verse 3, now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. I think it's interesting that the first people God said go home were the fearful. You're scared because God knows, and you know, fear can cause us to make terrible decisions. When we let fear drive, it can end up in shipwreck. It can end up in a terrible disaster. And God says, if you're fearful, go home. Go home. You may hurt us more than help us. You may use that fear to drive you and make a terrible decision. When the heat of the battle, you may take off and run, or you can cause someone else to die because of your terrible decision. He said, if you're fearful and afraid, let them return and depart into Mount Gilead. And there returned to the people 22,000. And there remained 10,000. I put myself in situations that I'm reading the scripture and think, how would I have acted? Again, Gideon came out with 32,000 people. 32,000. He's out there and he says, okay, God said, if you're scared, you can go home. And he looked at that multitude of people get up and start walking away. I think Gideon probably just had his mouth like, maybe a couple hundred, maybe a 50 couple, but 22,000 of you? Over two-thirds of my army is gone? As he watched him walking home over the hill, I think he just sat there with his mouth open. God, what are you doing? And God said, in verse 4, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. What? Bring them down to the water, and I will tell thee, I would try them for thee there. And we know the story how God told them, watch how they drink. Watch how they drink the water. You see them getting down on their knees, you set them on one side. You see them lapping the water up, and you set them on the other side. And Gideon looked, and he had 300 men over here. He looked, and there were 9,700 men over here separated as they separated. And God said, send the 9,700 home. Now, you can put yourself in Gideon's situation. How would you feel right about now? No, going against an army that was innumerable. You started out with 32,000. Now you're down to 300. So God sent the fearful home. Then God thinned the ranks even more. You notice in verse number 7, he said, the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped, will I save you. Not will you save us. Not will you save you and the 300. He said, by the 300 will I save you. Notice that. And deliver the Midianites into thine hand. Let all the other people go, every man into his place. But then God said, Gideon, you sent the fearful home. You got it down to 300 brave men that are ready to fight. And like I said, I think Gideon, as he saw those 22,000 and the 9,700, as he saw them marching home, I think Gideon's heart sunk a little. And I get this from the scripture where in verse 11, God says, and thou shalt hear what, wait, God in verse number 8, he said, so the people took victuals in their hands and their trumpets, and he said, all the rest of Israel, everyone into his tent, and retained those 300 men. And the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered into thy hand. He said, but if thou fear to go down. He said, Gideon, I see you're a little hesitant. I see your heart starting to worry a little bit. Gideon, I need you to be sharp. I need you to be of good courage. I need you to be strengthened. Gideon, I got a plan for you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to get rid of that fear in your life. He said, if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shalt thine hands be strengthened to go unto the host. Then went he down with Purah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. So that tells me there that when he says, if you're scared, Gideon, I need you to do something that's going to help you. I need you to get some confidence. I need you to do something that's going to help you. And I want you to go down, you and your servant, go down, sneak into that camp, just the two of you. And I just want you to listen to what they got to say. And this is a part of the story that you don't hear a whole lot about. You hear how he took the 300 men and won a great battle. You hear about the men that were fearful that sent home. And you hear about the men that drank the water wrong and they sent them home. But this part often gets missed. And I believe it was so important because that's what I'm going to talk about. God was strengthening Gideon, and he was also bringing fear into the enemy. If you read here, in verse number 12, and the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. Again, there's so many of them. And he snuck down there, just the two of them. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of the Midian, and came into a tent, and smote it, and it fell, and overturned it, and the tent lay along. This fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the hosts. And it was so when Gideon heard them telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. He came back with a confidence. He came back with a boost, a jump in the step, saying, God is going to bring victory. I just got confirmation that God's doing a work. I went down. He went down, and it was a dream. Think about this little dream. I kind of think it's comical. I laugh about it. They dreamed about a loaf of bread rolling down a hill. I remember my grandma and my mom would make cornbread in a cast iron pan. So when I think of that rolling down the hill, that's what I think of, that cornbread, this round cake rolling down the hill. So a cake of cornbread smashed a tent, destroyed this area, destroyed Midian. And these guys was like, man, I was dreaming this. This is so weird. And then his buddy said, you know what that is, don't you? That's a warning that God's going to destroy us by the hand of Gideon. And fear spread throughout this camp. Think about it. When we get into the story, fear started spreading throughout this camp because of this guy's dream about a loaf of cornbread. That's what I pictured anyways. It's a barley loaf of bread. But rolling down the hill, smashing the tent, and fear just started spreading throughout the camp as people started talking about it. You heard about this guy's dream? Oh, my God, God's going to use Gideon to destroy us. And Gideon came back and said, let's go. Let's go. We're ready. Let's go. And in verse 16, he divided the 300 men into three companies. He put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers, and said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, and I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Remember the dream. That's the sword of Gideon. He said, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and 100 men that were with him came into the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle of watch, And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their hands and the trumpets in the right hands and blow withal. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the hosts ran and cried and fled. They didn't even have to move. They just broke the pitchers, held up their lanterns, blew the trumpets, shouted, and it said they stood everyone in their place, and they started watching because of the fear that was down there. The fear controlled them, and they heard, and they saw. They let fear react. They said they ran, they cried, they fled, and the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow. They started slashing each other. They started running about, and they started grabbing their swords. Someone run by, they started slashing each other, killing each other, and the host of Gideon's just standing around watching it because fear was controlling them. But God's army, Gideon's army, was strong, was standing of good courage and being strong in the Lord, strengthened in the Lord, as they were just shouting. They went back and down. There's 300 people because fear was sent home. Fear was sent home, and God brought a great victory in their life, and fear defeated the enemy. And you mark it down. Our enemy will use fear to defeat us too. Our enemy will use fear in a heartbeat to defeat us. And if you allow fear in your heart, and fear to start controlling you, and fear to start driving you, and then that's what the enemy will use to bring destruction, to bring heartache, to bring trouble in our lives because we are letting fear drive. So I ask you again, who's driving? When things get fearful, as we see it did even for Gideon, as he got down to 300 people, he started getting a little fearful. God says, if you're fearful, I need you to do something. You see, Gideon did it, which means he was fearful. God says, you got to get rid of that fear, Gideon. I need you to be strengthened. I need you to hear what I got to say. I need you to have confidence in my word that I'm going to see you through, that I want to be with you. And when Gideon came back, that fear was gone. He said, let's go. God's delivered them in our hands. Let's go. With 300 people having that confidence. Why? Because we serve a big God, a mighty God who's able to save, even in today. I don't know. I'm glad in my heart that through this time I haven't been fearful. It's been different. We've had to do things differently. We've had to not have service and the different things that we're forced to do or asked to do. But not once have I been hiding in the corner, scared. Why? Because I serve a mighty God, and God's given me a victory over that fear. But maybe someone out there is fearful. I'm going to tell you, God's in control, and God says, I'll be with you. Don't let fear drive you. Rely on God, and God used that testimony of the enemy to get that fear out of Gideon's heart. Use testimonies of people that God has brought victories. It's good when we could testify and one to another and tell stories of how God brought victory and God brought victory. And think about it in your own life. You know, you've been around any time. You know God has brought victory in your life. Well, God's still God. He's still in control. You use your own testimony to say, fear, you ain't got no place in here. You're not driving my life. I serve a big God, a mighty God who's able to deliver. God used 300 men. He says, I'm going to use this 300 men, but I am going to deliver you. I'm going to save you. Not you, Gideon. Not the 300 men. I'm going to save you with those 300 men. God brought a great victory. You can keep reading, and for sake of time, we went through a lot of this, but who's driving? If it's anything other than God, then you need to repent. You need to get on your knees and say, God, yield to God. I yield my life to you, God. I yield my will, my everything, God. You're in control. You actually think you'll be a better driver than God? You think that your fear, your better opportunity, your pride, you think those things are a better driver of your life than God? No, yield your life to God. 100% say, God, Till you tell me to move, I'm going to stay by the brook. I'm going to stay by the brook. I'm going to wait on you and see you bring victory. You tell me to move, I'm going to move. But until then, God, you're in control. I'm yielding to you. I'm almost sensitive to your lead. Don't let fear drive. Don't let fear drive. I think it's so, so important. God was dealing with my heart and just thinking, I think this is a message that many people needed to hear. To get rid of their fear, to hear God's word to say, don't be afraid. Be of good courage. God told that to Joshua. Fear not. Be of good courage. He says, I will never leave you. He's told us over and over in the scripture, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. He even says, I am with you always, even into the end of the world. That hasn't changed. God's word hasn't changed. He's still with us. I thank God for that. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, God, for your love, your will, your word, God. Oh, Lord, I've just been strengthened as I've been studying through your word, Lord, just the miracle that you did in Gideon's life and so many others, God, in your word as we read, Lord, the victory after victory and miracles, God, when everything was counted out, when everything seemed like loss, God, you came through. Lord, to God be the glory. And God, we know you're still in control today. Lord, I pray for those that are all around, those that are listening on live stream, Lord, those that have fear in their heart, those that are just starting to wonder as Gideon did. God's with us. How is this happening? Lord, just to give a little confidence and a little reminder, God, you're in control. You're with us. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us, God. Help us to stay faithful to you. Even during these times, God, I pray that you'd help us stay faithful, help us to be witnesses of our faith, to show, God, we have nothing to fear. We know that you're near and you're in control. Strengthen us, God. Help us, even through the end of this, God, that we would be a stronger force for you, be able to minister to in ways that we haven't been able to before. Lord, we know that that you're in control. This is all you're allowing or you're sending, whatever it may be, God. You're in control. I pray that you'd use it for your glory and your honor. We love you. We praise you, God. And we pray that you'd help us to love you more every day as you're worthy. We ask these in Jesus' name. Amen.